Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Breakover, aka Pop Breaks Takeover of the Bob Culture Podcast. You may know me. I am lay editor in chief, Bill Bodkin. I am the mind behind the popbreak.com for 14 years for all the best reviews, interviews, and views about pop culture on the internet. And I am your host to talk about AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling's Forbidden Door 2. Why is that? Because I'm the only one who has hosting experience that could talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling. Very, very simple. But I am joined by a veritable all-star panel of people to talk about pro wrestling. But before we get to that, we want to send out positive thoughts, positive vibes, and well wishes to we had two guests who are going to be on here. Unfortunately, could not make it due to personal situation. Of course, our great friend Kyle Masters. We hope you're doing good, buddy, and we have your family in our prayers. And Mr. Warren Hayes, who unfortunately fell ill right before the podcast. So, guys, we hope you're feeling better. Hope you're doing good, and we have you in our thoughts. But joining us is a guy I've known for 20 years. I almost tried out for commentary with WWE with him, but a blizzard prevented that from happening. Of course, he is one of the longest-running staff writers on the popbreak.com, a former writer for WWE.com, a huge advocate for mental health. He is the rainmaker in my life, Michael Dworkis. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, we, every 6 years we have you on, so don't worry about it.
That's fair.
That's fair.
You know, I figured you'd be the mind, body, and soul of the pop breaks.
Exactly. I am like the holy trinity of the pop break, except way weirder. Totally less a dove and a spiritual being. And also joining us, of course, you may know her from, hold on, let me get it all straight. One, the All Things Honor podcast, which you could find on all your favorite stream platforms or just YouTube. You could also see her writing 1.5 million articles on the popbreak.com. Any convention that for wrestling that matters on the East Coast, the West Coast, and anywhere in between, she is at it, running the show. And of course, she's just a recent college graduate, a purveyor of backwards hats and glasses. Kimmy Sokol, what's going on?
Okay, so I knew every word you said, so this is progress. I knew every word you said, big deals. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. We're surviving.
Yeah. Great, that's all we want to hear. And of course, the reason we're all here, he is the Bob and the Bob Culture Podcast. He is the owner of a new puppy, which is the reason everyone is really nice to him these days, especially his main squeeze, our favorite and yours, the Triple V. And Rob, why don't you tell us before you even put yourself over, because we know you're going to do that because you're such a selfish, self-centered son of a gun. Why don't you tell us about all the fabulous sponsors for this very episode?
We'll do it real quick. We'll do it Excalibur style. And Bill, thank you for hosting, man. Rocking that Max Caster headphones and glasses.
You could thank my Father's Day for the glass for the headphones. Great. I mean, yeah,
they look great, man.
I know.
Happy Father's Day, everyone. That was
great. I know.
All right. So real quick, I'm almost reading the description of the podcast. Totally not reading this. As always, the BCP brought to you by our good friends over at Funkstein Wrestling Superstore in Englishtown, New Jersey, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturdays and Sunday at the Englishtown Flea Market or at FunkensteinWrestlingSuperstore.com. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real. 100% of the times, the No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you find your podcast. Got a shout out. Our new sponsor, Global Wrestling Family, GWF, is all about inclusive and celebrating a common love for pro wrestling amongst the fans and wrestlers. T-shirts, hats, and more merch is available now. Join the group over on Facebook at Global Wrestling Family and be sure to follow them on Instagram at Global Wrestling Family. Shout out Taboo. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Sam's Pizza and Subs, located in Glen Burnie in Elkridge, Maryland. We know pizza here in Jersey, really good pizza down in Maryland. I was skeptical. Very, very good. Check them out. Sam's Pizza and Subs. You can order online if you're down there as well. And shout out to our new sponsors, Bubba John and Kim Call, who they just want to shout out their amazing daughter, Gabby, which I love, who they are incredibly proud of. And congrats, Gabby, on all your accomplishments. And last but not least, Wrestling All Day, All Night. Check them out on Facebook. A great Facebook fan group where you can find out about wrestling meet and greets, talk about upcoming shows. So shout out to Glenn and everyone at Wrestling All Day, All Night. Check them out on Facebook and read.
And if you want to sponsor the Bob Culture Podcast, slide into Rob's DMs and he will respond respectfully to your business inquiries. And if you are being saucy and sliding into his DMs, there's an Italian woman who's going to have the word with you. So, speaking of saucy DMs, let's talk about Forbidden Door 2. That's right. Kimmy's like, what's a saucy DM? Who cares?
No.
It's a wonderful transition. It's beautiful.
No.
It's a chef's kiss. We are here. No. Dad is tired and he is doing this and I have no air conditioning in my room right now. So I'm sweating my ass off. We're going to go with whatever transition I'm going to come up with. But we're here to talk about the pay-per-view of pay-per-views airing this Sunday live from Toronto, Canada. Forbidden Door 2. Let's get into our preview where we're talking predictions, we're giving thoughts, we're giving theories. So let's start out with a match that was announced tonight, because Tony Khan does love announcing matches for a pay-per-view only a few days out. And that will be the second time this title is defended at Forbidden Door. It will be Toni Storm, the current AEW Women's Champion, who actually challenged last year for that same title, taking on New Japan Strong Women's Champion, the babe with the power, Willow Nightingale. Guys, want to get your thoughts on this one, especially with Willow Nightingale wrestling the night before, also in Toronto at the Scotiabank Arena, in the Owen Hart Women's Tournament, taking on Nyla Rose. So I want you to take that in consideration when you come up with your response. Will she advance in the Owen Hart Tournament, or will there be shenanigans from the Outcasts preventing her from doing so? And if you have any other theories about this match, Mike, you are our esteemed guest. Let's start with you, my friend.
Ah, thank you much. Much appreciated. Well, being that she's going first on the tournament with Collision, if it was Rampage, I would have said that sure, Willow could, you know, progress in the tournament. Being it's Collision, big live audience, wouldn't surprise me if the Outcast costs her the tournament bracket, only for her to possibly get some bit of revenge at Forbidden Door, but I don't see any titles changing.
All right. Rob, I know you are a proponent of women's wrestling, and if you weren't, you would have a large problem with the Italian woman in your house. What do you have? Who do you have winning this one? And given the fact that Willow is wrestling the night before, do you see her advancing in the Owen Hart tournament?
Good stuff. Bill knocking it out of the park, hosting, man. I'll say
it's literally Aaron Judge from last year. Dude, not Aaron Judge from this year, because I have a toe problem. That'd be weird.
All rise for Bill Botkin. That's all I got to say. Yeah, this should be an interesting one. Just seeing that match announced tonight, and first disclaimer of the night, man. We have a new puppy, so we were dealing with that. So I was about 20 minutes behind on everything and not having full attention on Dynamite tonight. But I was excited to see this match get announced. That being said, I think it's going to be really, really good. Willow and Toni Storm, like you said, it was kind of like not a last minute, but like Toni kind of likes to add those like right before kind of matches, which I'm here for. And I'm really excited about this one. I think they're going to hit their spots. I think there's going to be a good element of storytelling here. Willow, just ever since, I think it was on Rampage, just really got that crowd behind her, you know, instantly just right into that women's division, instantly on almost every week, getting that TV time. We've seen her here in the Northeast for some time, man. Like, she's amazing. Tony Storm's great too. I think the in-ring work and everything, I think this is going to be a really good straight-up match. I almost wish that there was going to be no sort of interference whatsoever by the Outcasts, but there definitely will be. I think the factor that she's wrestling the night before will be another reason leading into why Willow doesn't win here. So I don't see any title changes here. And yeah, I got to say Tony Storm wins, but I think this is going to be low-key. Am I using that right, Kimmy? Low-key, a really good match.
Good job. Proud.
Yes, low-key is definitely a thing. Also an independent wrestler. High-key.
Next me. Yes, it is. It is the thing.
English
not
major.
To you.
I just got him.
Sports media major. That means something somewhere.
Yeah, it does for the sports media. Kimmy, purveyor of all hats backwards and all keeping wrestlers in line, which is the job of jobs here. I want you to tell us about two of your favorites, Tony Storm, Willow Nightingale. I know you're a big Willow fan. We've talked about it offline. Do you think she advances in the tournament? That's my first question to you, because I know you are very hyped for the Owen Hart women's bracket.
Not for her opponent in this one. Like, first of all.
Oh, your mortal enemy. I forgot.
Yeah, so no, she's got to lose. So that's first of all. Second of all, we all know Athena versus Sky Blue is going to be the finals. Sorry, Billy Starks. Sorry, Billy Starks. Sorry.
She's got, like, she's only 18. She's got years where she can get to the finals.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone's like, oh my God, Billy Starks. I'm like, yo, Athena versus Sky Blue to run back the match they had at Ring of Honor like a month ago that everyone was like, oh my God, match of the year. Well, you see, if more people bought Honor Club, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, so here's my thing. I don't understand why we didn't put the New Japan title on the line, because that was the original plan for this show. Why? Explain.
Well, who does? Okay, I will, after you've given me your pick for who's going to win the match.
Obviously, Tony Storm.
So the reason they didn't put the New Japan title on the line is because I believe we are going to get our first of a few cameos and surprises in the night from, oh, my ankle's so bad, Mercedes Moné. I believe we're going to see some sort of appearance for her, because she is going to come for that New Japan title. Now, what do I think will happen? Well, you could go two ways. Does she join the Outcasts? No. She will help Willow Nightingale when the Outcasts are beating her down. Her music will play. They will scatter and she will point at that title. And I would not be shocked if magically she is ready for TD Gardens in Boston, her hometown, to challenge for that title and win that title. That's what I think is going to happen. I also do think Willow Nightingale will advance in the Owen Hart tournament, because she is my pick to win the whole thing. So that's who I'm going to go with. Kimmy, I know you know me. I'm always wrong, but I got to go with what the Hart wants. And the Hart wants the babe with the power to take the title. Take the tournament, I should say. I also would like her to take the title, but Tony Storm will win, because Tony Storm, I'll say, is one of the best signings AEW has had over the past 2 years. She's been a constant workhorse for them. Speaking of workhorses, let's talk about that four-way for the AEW International title. Orange Cassidy, the champion, will take on ROH Pure Champion, the wrestler Katsuyori Shibata, Red Death, a.k.a. Kimmy's future husband, Daniel Garcia, and Zack Sabre Jr., the New Japan Television Champion. Rob, I know you're well-versed in all things Shibata and Zack Sabre Jr., so I'd love to get your opinion. Let me posit it to you this way. Orange Cassidy, we've been running the angle. He's been the workhorse. He's injured. He's told Renee he's tired. Is this the match where he drops the title?
I think that's totally the question. Like, I'm struggling with, I'm really interested to hear what you guys have to say, because I was so dead set on that 21-man battle royal at the last event being, nope, Orange Cassidy's totally going to keep it. Like, you know, if it ain't broke kind of a thing. But you have some high-quality contenders, you know, and I'll be the first one to say, not as familiar with the New Japan competitors here. Zack Sabre Jr., I'm somewhat familiar with for a while now. Daniel Garcia, obviously, and Orange Cassidy. That being said, I think it's exactly the question that you asked. First of all, the match, the work rate, the spots, the storytelling. We talked about that injury with Orange Cassidy and, you know, his back, his hands. You know, he's just been squeaking it out, pulling it out. it's really, really tough here. It's going to be an awesome match. Like, it's one of those things, man, and I hate to be, like, you know, the devil's advocate kind of heel here, but...
No, obviously, you're always a heel, Rob.
Yeah, right? I try to always be a face. A lot of the, you know... the conjecture here is the whole, like, well, lack of storyline and fantasy booking and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I'll be the first one to say, man, when the Jetsons met the Flintstones, bro, I rented that VHS like every week.
I love match.
It. Yeah. Sorry. I digress. I don't know if Daniel Garcia, I'm going to say Orange Cassidy retains here. Safe bet. Why change it now? Welcome in Parker, Daniel Parker from Parker Kane Promotions.
Parker Boudreaux?
Yeah. Not yet.
Soon enough.
I really had to think about that one. I'm interested in what you guys have to say. This is a tough one.
Well, Kimmy, there's some honorable people in this. There's a future husband in this match for you. I mean, I kind of know who you're going to pick, but tell me why you think Daniel Garcia is going to win this match.
Because next week when I see him July 1st at Icons, I get to hold the international title. I mean, how better could that be? No, I'm not picking him because he's going to win the pure title at Death Before Dishonor. Because
in Trenton.
Yeah, and I'll be there. Because guys, Shibata is feuding with Daniel Garcia. Isn't that crazy? If
that
only.
Really is. Yeah.
I know, right? Like, he came out a couple weeks ago on Rampage, had this whole thing. I also don't understand why we've been hyping up Zack Sabre Jr. versus Samoa Joe for a month. We've been hyping this up for a month. Did we just, like, go into the abyss? Where has this match gone? Hello? I don't understand. So I don't know why Zack Sabre Jr.'s in this. Could have done him versus Joe. Could have been a whole thing. But no, we can't have nice things. But yeah, Orange is going to retain because he should have lost to Swerve a couple weeks ago. That's a hot take.
I think that's a pretty solid take right there because I agree. I thought Swerve was going to take it as well. My buddy, the Hebrew Hammer, what do you got, pal? Tell me if that's a nickname we've gone for forever. He is a force to be reckoned with. What do you got for this one?
The city retaining.
Please give me your thoughts and prayers on this one. Why?
Okay. Well, while I'm thinking that, as Kimmy put, that Garcia is probably going to be taking the pure title back. He's been having this feud that I think should have gotten a little bit more attention. I know it's been strictly on Ring of Honor, but man, Shibata was the one that took the pure title from him in the first place.
That's true. So
it makes sense that Garcia is going to want that belt back. Zack Sabre Jr. is a really nice addition. And again, yeah, he was feuding with Samoa Joe. Sure, they teamed for a little bit, then they feuded, and then it vanished. It disappeared. However, Kimmy, I will say, I know we can't have nice things sometimes, but I think we will get nice things in the future when Samoa Joe and Zack Sabre Jr. do eventually collide.
At Death Before Dishonor when I'm there.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. I think that
would
be added present.
Would that, when you say collide, are they going to fight on Collision? Is that what you were getting at?
You beat me to it, man.
You son of a bitch. Well, okay, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this thing. We've been having these conversations for over 20 years. Who is going to take the title off of Orange Cassidy? Or who would you book to take it off Orange Cassidy?
Man, you know, if someone's going to take it off Orange Cassidy, I would absolutely love it. And I know I joked about it for a while, but man, give me Butcher.
You do love a guy with a monocle.
I love the monocle. Give me Butcher. Or you know what? I'll give you one better. Give me Brody King.
Brody King would be great. He does have the Trios title. I don't see them hopping it on him right now. If I had to pick someone, I would say this is a perfect time to put it on someone like Will Hobbs, put it on someone like Jay White. I think guys who are more thrust into a bigger position right now and who would be a workhorse type of guy. I think Jay White would actually be the guy I would put it on. But
White could be a good pick. And when you mentioned Hobbs, that was a missed boat. That he should have had either TNT title, international title, or at the time it was still All Atlantic. He was a guy that should have carried a singles title, whichever one of those.
For a minute.
Yeah, a couple minutes, 60, 80 seconds, I don't know, something like that. But you know, actually, you jogged my memory. What about Miro?
Oh, they do have a past. That would be a really good one. Mm-hmm. That would be a really good one. Mike, this is why I pay you the $0 to come on and sound really smart.
I like all the zeros.
Let's get into a match that was announced. There was a little bit of controversy coming around this one because originally we thought this was going to be a battle of GTSs, but instead it's going to be the returning CM Punk versus the leader of the Bread Club, Satoshi Kojima. Now, for some of you, you might be like, Satoshi Kojima, who is that? Well, if you might remember two All Outs ago, Jon Moxley did wrestle Satoshi Kojima in one hell of a match. So go back on your Bleacher Report and find it, because, God, they won't put anything on HBO Max for AEW except for All Access, which you can read all of Kimmy's reviews on thepopbreak.com. So, guys, let's get into it. I think this is pretty much lock of the night, as Rob would say. CM Punk and Kojima, obviously, Rob's favorite wrestler, CM Punk, is going to take this one. It's going to be a lot of lariats. It'll be a lot of Pepsi Phil is going to come out on top of this one. Rob, how excited are you to see CM Punk and Satoshi Kojima?
I think, notoriously, I've not been a CM Punk guy. We all know this at this. This is going back many. This is a long time ago before everything happened. We all know this. That being said, he's always made it interesting. He's changed the sports entertainment world, as it were, many times over. Always entertaining, always making you think, you know, what are they doing here? Is it a work? Is it a shoot? You know, how much of this is he going off the cuff here? That's CM Punk for you. We all kind of had a feeling he'd be back. He's back. He's got to be on this card. Why is it not Kenta?
Because he pulled. Because he's so a baby.
Was that it was never officially announced.
There was apparently there was a story Fightful broke today that it was broached. Apparently, at one point, CM Punk wasn't into it. It looks like it was going to happen. Then Kenta was like, "Hey guys, guess what? I don't want to do it."
Say less. Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to bury anyone. CM Punk's going to win.
Yeah, bury everyone all the time, Rob. You should see how he buries everyone. And so on.
He's like, great. He's good at what he does. He's everyone. Great for business. CM Punk will win here.
Mike, obviously we think CM Punk's going to beat Satoshi Kojima. Do you think CM Punk makes it to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament?
Well, that would be interesting.
Huh.
Punk comes back, doesn't go for a title right away, goes to the finals of the tournament. Kind of wondering who, if that were the case, who he'd face in the finals to make it real interesting. And it's a little bit of a shame, too, that we all know he's going to win this first round, because they're not going to put somebody from New Japan, you know, in the tournament for, you know, more than an opener. But man, think about Punk going all the way to the finals. That'd be one hell of a tease right there. I mean, that could be his path to MJF.
Well, he would have to defeat the winner of this is essentially a death match. Samoa Joe and Roderick Strong. So he's going to have to beat one of those guys.
It's going to be good.
Good luck there. And on the other side of the bracket is Dustin Rhodes, Powers Hobbs, Juice Robinson, and Ricky Starks. So, yeah, it would be interesting. I don't know if he's going to make it past Joe or Strong. Kimmy.
Yeah.
Hi.
Who do you have? So Punk, I believe, is your pick here. But I want to get your temperature on where you think he ends up within the Owen Hart tournament, because you had messaged me who you think your finals are going to be.
Yeah, so I pulled it up. I found it. So it's going to be Punk and Joe. Then it's going to be Ricky versus Hobbs. Then it's going to be Punk and Ricky. And then Ricky's going to win. Punk's not even going to make it all the way.
Boom. I do think Ricky Stark should win. That's who I agree. So let's get on to our next match here. Which is going to be for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. It is the champion, Sonata, who's in a group called Just Five Guys, which is ridiculous. But Sonata is your champion, and he will be taking on Jungle Boy Jack Perry with Hook in his corner. Guys, let's talk about this. Who do you got, Sonata or Jack Perry? And let's talk about... let's extrapolate a little bit on Jack Perry's future, because there are plenty of rumors and innuendo a heel turn could be coming. Mike, you and I have spoken about this at length. I would love to get your thoughts first.
I mean, we've talked about this. This heel turn has been in the making. There were a couple points in the past where right after the last pay-per-view, man, it seemed like that heel turn was coming. didn't happen. Based on that promo, man, he was eyeballing that FTW title like swimsuit model from 1989. Yeah, I'm the old guy here. All right,
he is actually. We have found someone who's actually older than me on this podcast.
Wow.
Timmy, I'd love to get your thoughts. Do we see Is this going to fuel a Jungle Boy heel turn?
Yeah, he's going to turn on Hook, and then he's going to get his FTW championship because his former best friend got a title before him, and he's big mad about it. He's now the new pillar. It's Luchasaurus is the pillar, Jungle Boy.
It's a large pillar. It's a very large pillar.
Hey, who said Luchasaurus was going to win? I forget. And everyone was like, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
Not you, because we didn't do collision predictions for you to say that. So
I said he was keeping it warm. I said he was keeping it warm for Luchasaurus.
It wasn't you. Try again.
I'm used to that.
Well, Rob, I know you're a big Luchasaurus fan, but, things happen. So I would love to get all your deep analysis on Sonata and his IWGP championship run.
Yeah.
No? All right. So what do you think about this? And do you see Jungle Boy turning heel eventually? Or do you think we're getting worked here?
It's such a fun conversation and don't want to, we shouldn't glance over New Japan or Sonata or the championship, as it were. That being said, man, Hook and Jungle Boy Jack Perry, like it's almost like, it's not even, is it going to happen? It's just like the talking point, you know? It's like, as Warren had said, Jungle Boy in terms of promo was a little bit exposed in his words. If he becomes a heel, he would have to do a lot more, in my mind, a lot more promo work or have someone alongside of him or something like that. That being said, Jungle Boy, correct me if I'm wrong, has not held any gold outside of the tag team championships. No singles gold. So Luchasaurus has captured gold before him. I would thought by now for sure that Jungle Boy would have held some sort of singles gold by now, especially the TNT championship or the like. That being said, that FTW championship would be cool for him or good for him. I just don't, like, it's fun to, like, say, oh, is he going to turn heel? Something needs to happen here. The tension is going to be between Hook and Jungle Boy because we did that already. He was in the world title picture, and then it was back to Hook, which some people may see as a demotion, as Warren said on his show. There's going to be something between Hook and Jungle Boy here. I don't know if it doesn't make sense for Jungle Boy to turn heel, but in terms of the execution, can Jungle Boy, obviously we change the music, we change things, but in terms of promo work and stuff like that, that's where you lose me. Again, I'm usually very wrong on these things. People turn heel, I'm like, nope, not going to work. Usos, Britt Baker, I was like, nope, not going to work. I was dead wrong on both of those, and I could go on and on. So maybe this is a chance for him to prove me wrong, and that would be really cool. At the same time, I could see Hook just doing his thing, Jungle Boy wins, and just dropping Jungle Boy. No, whatever. He's just too cool for school, and it, in a weird way, would make more sense, because that's what Hook does. He just does whatever he wants, too cool for school. Either way, we get a match between these guys. I can't picture a heel Jungle Boy just in terms of promo or reason or logic and all that kind of stuff, and I hope they prove me wrong. I think Jungle Boy wins, and then there's some sort of tension here between Hook and Jungle Boy.
He wears Christian Cage. He's going to go back with Christian, probably.
Yeah?
I think, or he just becomes the new...
I feel like he does need somebody. Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's Jungle Boy is going to turn on Hook because Hook is finally... He's let his guard down. He's Jungle Boy's his friend. And then I think we see a different side of Hook, but I think Jungle Boy is going to turn heel. We've seen this coming. MJF said you should be a champion, but you haven't been because you're too nice. And then he's looking, he can't win the gold. And so Luchasaurus has got, everyone's got, he's going to turn and he's going to end up taking that FTW title. And I wouldn't be shocked if it was Christian Cage who was back with.
Christian did say he respected him.
Yeah, even though he's a piece of shit. Yeah, that was his exact word.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Jack Perry's a piece of shit, but I respect him. I've actually said that about people too.
I was gonna say, so, I'm used to that.
I'm used to it too. So let's go into a trios match. We are gonna get the Suzuki Gods, which is Chris Jericho, Minoru Suzuki, aka Murder Grandpa, and the Spanish God Sammy Guevara, taking on the reunited Dudes with Attitudes, Sting, Darby Allin, and a mystery partner. So I would love to get your guys' opinions on who the mystery partner is going to be. And given this feud between this simmering feud between Sting and Chris Jericho, who do you think takes this match? And especially, we also have concurrently Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho friction as well. Kimmy, I'm going to start with you. I don't know if you have an idea who this mystery partner could be first. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
So I went on Twitter because I was like, I don't know what the internet's saying. So I'm going to go with what the internet said and say Naito, because that just, I don't know, makes sense. Sure.
So,
yay.
So Naito from Los Ingobernables de Japón. LIJ for everyone else. So that would be a hell of a partner, because if people don't remember, Jericho and Naito had a pretty hot feud in New Japan a few years ago. That's actually where the Painmaker character started. So now on the match itself, who do you think is going to be coming out on top? Will it be the Suzuki Gods or will it be Team Sting?
Team Sting, because Jericho and Sammy are going to implode. And then Suzuki's going to take the pin, because why wouldn't he? That's what he does in these things. He takes the pin.
He takes the pin, but he never takes a ding to that reputation. Mike, I know you love Murder Grandpa more than you like me, so which I understand. He would kill you. I won't. So who do you have in this match, and who do you think is the mystery partner for Sting and Darby?
Well, I'm actually going right along with Kimmy, because that was one feud that Jericho had in New Japan that never really saw a conclusion, never really got closure, his feud with Naito. And with all the other big players that Jericho's already faced from New Japan involved in other matches, it makes sense for Naito to be the mystery partner. And in terms of the pin and win, the one modification I'm going to make, and it's not because I'm deathly afraid of Murder Grandpa showing up at my doorstep, I actually do believe that Jericho will be the one to take the pin, because Sammy will either turn, something will happen, miscommunication. Jericho gets pinned. He blames Sammy for it. And we segue right into our Jericho-Sammy feud.
Miscommunication. That's what it'll be. Rob, I know you have a vast knowledge of New Japan Pro Wrestling, so I'd love for you to probably cut and paste what everyone says. And if you do copy and paste, please, if you're at home and following along, remember, you do have to take a drink. So who do you think comes out on top, and any guesses on our mystery partner?
So mostly copy and paste. Two questions. Has Sting lost a match in AEW yet?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Not in any capacity.
No.
All right. Does Sting have any hit? Because I know we were going with the history with Jericho and Naito. Does Sting have any New Japan buddies?
Most of them are retired.
Okay, I was thinking
Muda make sense. Would have been like Muda came out at exactly Grand Slam, but he's retired.
Retired.
Shono is not wrestling. And most everyone else, the only other one that could have possibly made sense that was a legend is Jushin Thunder Liger, but he is history of Jericho, also retired.
And we don't see any of these retired. We know what that means in wrestling. We don't see any of these.
No, because they was such a big deal. Like,
yeah, like Muda respectful.
A year long retirement tour. He's not.
Yeah.
Coming back. Yeah.
I gotcha. Jeff Hardy. I think
wrestling.
He's not allowed.
He's not allowed in Canada.
Oh, I was just trying to be funny. I think Sting's Team Sting's got a win here. Real quick, I just want to say that was my favorite part of Dynamite. I love that team of Suzuki and Jericho and obviously Sammy too. It was great, man. That was my. I thought the show started a little slow. I get very annoyed with the factionism. There was a lot of that early on, but man, that was amazing. I am here for this match. This might be one I'm most excited for, but I think Team Sting definitely has to win there, just based on the stats and analytics here.
Huh. So I originally was like, well, the dudes with attitudes last year was Sting, Darby, Hiromu, and Shingo. And I'm like, oh, man, any one of those guys would be great. But when you bring up the fact that Sting, you've made a lot of enemies, it has to be Naito, because there's no one else he's really fought. I think he may have fought Evil one time. And if that was the mystery opponent, everyone would hate it. So it's going to be, it should be Naito, who has famously said he will never wrestle at Forbidden Door. So that would be pretty rad. Yeah. And I do see the rest of LIJ, if this match does happen, teaming with Andrade, who is a member of LIJ in Mexico, going against House of Black. So I could see it being Hiromu, Andrade, and Shingo taking on House of Black for the trios title. That's my opinion on that. So, guys, let's keep that ball rolling. It's a match that got coerced into actually happening. There were a lot of theories this match would not happen. It's the AEW World Championship match. MJF is taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi, the Ace of the Universe. Kimmy, does Hiroshi Tanahashi have a shot to beat Maxwell Jacob Friedman at, with probably his new best friend, Adam Cole, in his corner?
No. No, not happening. Because we're going to build to Cole and MJF, which is probably not going to happen at All Out. Probably going to happen on like a Battle of the Belts, whatever stupid thingy.
You think?
And then, wait, and then you're going to do Punk versus MJF at Wembley.
Okay, because I was going to say, you would really waste Adam Cole and a lot of the Battle of the Belts, which has notoriously been like sidelined, but Punk and MJF at Wembley, that's, they kind of hinted at that on Saturday. Rob, I want your opinion. MJF, Tanahashi, who you got?
The Adam Cole in his corner thing was a joke, right? Because of the team up? Or he's legit in his corner?
I think he might be there, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was like on the graphic or anything like that. And this is for the title.
The actual title.
Yes. Yeah. MJF isn't losing the title here for all the reasons you guys just said. And I think we're going to see, is it going to be Adam Cole, MJF? Is it going to be MJF versus Punk at Wembley or any other pay-per-view coming up? I think it doesn't make sense for MJF to lose here. Obviously, that I could almost say it's another lock of the night. But that being said, he's really shown his in-ring ability. I don't even want to say improvement because he's always been solid, but I think he's got that chip on his shoulder. You know, oh, he's just good on the stick, this and that, and he's putting in the work in the gym. You know, we just saw him wrestle GKM and Leo over at Cap and really shouting out Creator Pro, which I thought was really cool.
Guy's a Creator Pro tattoo on his leg.
Yeah. It's like when you're at the top of the ladder, you still, and yeah, like he's a heel, I get it, but like you still like show that respect, man. And I think that's very, very cool. So I think he's just gonna show out in this match. I think this is gonna be a really, really potential show stealer here. And it's not going to be about like who wins or loses here. This is just going to be a really, really good match. Like MJF will do all his heel shtick and stuff like that. Match with Adam Cole, I loved, by the way. I thought it was brilliant. I think this is going to be a really good one. And MJF, in terms of in-ring work, is just going to keep going like this.
Mike, you are a lover of both MJF and Tanahashi. I want to get your thoughts on what you're expecting for this match. Because let's face it, like MJF, prime of his career, Tanahashi, his body is held together with a wish and three buttons. Like he did say he is going to be at Wembley. So that's going to be pretty cool. So I want to get your thoughts on this match and who you think is going to win.
Well, you know, when we've spoken past, one of the things that sometimes takes a little bit away from it is the notion that in a match like this, you know MJF's going to win because he's not dropping the title. Although, here's the thing about AEW, very different from WWE, is that I'm always going to think it's going to end in a pinfall or submission because typically AEW matches end in pinfalls or submissions. They don't typically go to countouts. Does happen occasionally. Disqualifications, rarely. In fact, just this past week, we had a draw. We had a draw last week between MJF and Cole. Draws happen rarely. Now, another draw between MJF and Tanahashi that might be going to that well one too many times. So it makes sense that MJF gets the win somehow. He retains his title. I agree with what Rob says. It's probably going to be a great match. It's going to be an incredible match, which again is a staple of AEW. Despite predicting, yeah, sure, he's not going to lose the belt, but we're going to get a damn good match out of the two of them. And again, I agree, possible show stealer. The only thing I'm a little disappointed with, before they announced that it was Tanahashi, I really wanted MJF to to go against Yoritano.
Oh, Toriano.
Yeah. Toriano,
which I don't understand how he's not on the show, but
that would have been a great match.
It would have been amazing. He was, for people who don't know who Toriano is, he is a really top comedic wrestler who would, like, with him and MJF would be perfect together. I think this match, Mike, as I've often countered to your point, while we know who's going to win, what I've always loved about AEW is they make, like, I've been watching wrestling my whole life, they make me forget that I know what I'm talking about or that I've seen it all before. Tanahashi will make us believe that he's going to win that title because it was a foregone conclusion last year that Moxley was going to beat him for the title, for the interim title. But man, Tanahashi really made us think he was going to win, or at least he made me think he was going to win. And my opinion is what I'm counting right now. So I think this is going to be a much closer match than people think it's going to be. And the MJF, he's just good on the mic argument, I think, is such a washed argument. He's great in the ring. You just watch that Iron Man match. It's slam dunk match of the year for me. And he's amazing. So I think we just have to stop with the, well, can he, is he in the ring? You know, I think that argument has that ship has left the dock on that one. So we got the final top three matches. Huge match announced today.
You're forgetting one.
No, there's three.
There's four matches left.
Well, hold your butt 1 second. No.
Yes. Opening Owen Hart tournament in the women's bracket, you have Athena versus Sky Blue on the pre-show, sir. That was announced.
I didn't see that, so.
Did not catch that announcement.
Didn't catch that.
I'm so glad I'm not hosting, because this is usually where I get yelled at, so.
Well,
we got Kimmy to be on top of it, of all of it.
Athena Sky Blue, you said?
Athena Billy Starks.
Oh God!
Wait, what?
Because I can't even read the goddamn graphic. Oh, okay. Yeah. So we have Athena and Billy Starks. I love Billy Starks. She's great. She's not winning this match. Athena wins. So Kimmy, since this is a very important match to you, please tell me who's going to win this.
It's not that it's important. It's just that you forgot it, and I had to remind you as a host. You know, I'm just passing it on to you. You're welcome. Anyway, I think Athena's going to win. Because, sorry, Billy Starks, this is where you'll get your graphic, but, yeah, sorry. No go. You tried.
So, Mike, Athena, the former WWE superstar, taking on Billy Starks. Who do you got?
Go with Athena, not just because it's, Billy Starks is going to get the graphic, but you really need a strong heel in this tournament to go into the finals. And Athena right now is top-tier heel in the women's division.
Undoubtedly. Rob, close us out on this match.
I mean, good stuff. I mean, it was a close one. You know, Athena, she beat up Vicious Vicky pretty bad, but, you know, if she can beat Vicious Vicky, I feel like, you know, because that's a hard task, she's probably going to beat Billy Starks here. So I think Vicky slipped on a banana peel, I think, but I think Athena's going to win this one.
She's 30-0 in Ring of Honor, by the way.
Rob, smart man. And yes, Athena 30-0 in Ring of Honor, a force to be reckoned with. Let's go to the final three matches now, which will be the top three. One of them just announced tonight, and that is an explosive 10-man tag, which is going to see the Blackpool Combat Club of Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta teaming with Kenosuke Takeshita and Death Rider alum Shooter Umino, taking on the Young Bucks, Hangman Adam Page, Eddie Kingston, and Tomohiro Ishii, who was announced as the special surprise partner tonight, the Stone Pitbull himself. Mike, you pumped your fist in joy about this one. Take it away.
All this. You got Takeshita. You got Shota Umino. When Tomohiro Ishii, when they announced him, I jumped off the couch. It fits so well with this, with teaming up with Kingston. Also notice his start out neutral promo into, you know, yeah, Bucks, we don't really like him, right? We're still in Chicago. He had a play to the crowd.
He also said they were cute and they're okay.
They're okay. Yeah, he kind of flip-flopped a little bit. That's okay. Eddie Kingston, he's okay. He can say whatever he wants. in terms of the winner of this match, this will be, again, a match probably the hardest to predict, I think, of all the matches of the night. But and it hurts me to say this, the match is going to go to the Blackpool Combat Club. Look, you guys know I'm Eddie Kingston. The guy is like, if I didn't believe in actual deities, I'd probably be praying to the man. But I would love for Kingston to get a win on a pay-per-view like this. But I really think it's going to Blackpool just simply to further some unfinished business between Eddie Kingston and one Claudio Castagnoli. The Bucks and Heyman have beef with Don Callis and Takeshita. So it makes sense that this is the way things will progress. And I think being that Omega's not part of this match, we're going to talk about that match later, but it's going to prolong this whole Elite versus Blackpool Callis unified tandem here to the next couple pay-per-views.
All right, Kimmy, who do you got, the Elite or the Blackpool Combat Club?
The BCC is going to explode because this is how we're going to get our Ring of Honor main event, because Takeshita is going to challenge Claudio for the Ring of Honor title, because fun facts, guys, we have this champion that's never on the fucking programming. Why?
First F-bomb in the show.
And it wasn't you.
It was from the kid. It's from the kid. Who knew? Who knew?
I'm 21. I mean,
you're half Mike's and mine age, so it's kind of makes you a kid.
I try to be clean in my old age.
Oh, we know that's a lie. But so you think so the Elite picks up the win here. Now, Blackpool, now Takeshita's not officially BCC.
No, but they're like partners here, so they're going to explode here.
Okay. So that's what we're going to get for Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor. Rob, who do you have here, the Elite or the Blackpool Combat Club?
I'm going to get yelled at. And I'm glad, Kimmy, you went before me because you had some great points. I like what you said, Kimmy. I think that's a great idea. I'm actually here for it. And I like that you, because my question to you, Bill, was, is Takeshita a part of the BCC officially? No. And I think the answer is no.
They are loosely affiliated. They are business partners, let's just say, for the sake of this match.
Via Don Callis and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff drives me nuts. And this is not including the New Japan portion, because again, Jetsons meet the Flintstones. Very, very cool. Matches are going to be awesome. This match will probably be pretty cool. I like what Kimmy was saying, but like the pet peeve, and I know I'm saying this, and I know I'm going to get yelled at, but it's Takeshita. I love what he's doing. Face, heel, it's amazing. It does make sense, obviously, for him to take on the Elite in some form or fashion. But again, like my first question is like, why BCC? And again, we know there's a feud there, but like, is he officially a part? Like, selfishly, I want a little bit more of a connection. And then you put Eddie Kingston on the other side, who kind of, like you guys were saying, like toes the line and then kind of like leans into it a little bit. And he can do anything on the microphone. To me, there's just so much of a disconnect. I think the match could be really good, but also it's a lot of moving parts. Eddie Kingston and the Elite and the Bucks, and then Takeshita with all this great talent in the BCC. It's probably going to be pretty good. It's just, to me, it's just been a pet peeve of mine, so maybe I'm being biased here. It's probably going to be an awesome match. I just want to see more of Takeshita by himself, selfishly.
Okay, so just to explain it to you, the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club are feuding.
Yeah.
Don is broke up with Kenny Omega.
Yep.
His new bud is Takeshita.
Yep.
So the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Yes. Essentially. Eddie Kingston legit hates Claudio.
And
the last time we saw Eddie Kingston, he lost to Claudio for the Ring of Honor title. He's back after hernia surgery, hence the ice cream joke.
Trust me,
I've had a few hernias. I know how that goes. So he's going to go. So Eddie Kingston, you don't tell Eddie Kingston what to do. He's going to go fight Claudio, even if that means he has to go through his best friend, who John Moxley knows.
Right, which he played well. He played very well, which is another conflicting thing, but he did toe that very well.
So I think everything is kind of spelled out pretty well here. For me.
Yeah. And that's a fair point.
So I think Blackpool's got to win because they need to remain strong here. I think that, Kimmy, your main event can still happen. without them imploding. Because you have, what, a month, 3 weeks until that match happens. There's no reason why Claudio and Takeshita couldn't break up or get in each other's face on the next show on Dynamite, and then we set up the match. And it would be a phenomenal match.
Yes.
It'll be 5 stars in the dome. So what I'm saying is, I think the Tokyo Dome is a joke from another podcast, but I think you need to keep Blackpool strong because you need to keep the Elite weakened for what's going to happen at the main event, after the main event, in my opinion. And I think Ishii takes the pin because he's Ishii. It doesn't really matter. He's the stone pit bull. He's just going to keep beating the shit out of people. Doesn't matter if he loses or not. Let's get on to the next match, which, holy shit, I can't believe this is happening. That's Brian Danielson, the American Dragon, taking on the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada. This match, I cannot believe is happening. I Okada's taking it for me. This is going to be, this will be the one of the match. It's hard to say in a match with a night with so many great matches, this is the match of the night, but I think this will be the match of the night. I can't believe we're finally seeing this match. And it's going to be amazing, but I still think Okada comes out on top because, listen, you don't beat the Rainmaker. Rob, I know you're a big Okada guy, so what do you got?
Main event, you think, or no?
It is. This was announced.
Oh, it's officially. Oh, okay, I was going to have some fun. Like, oh, do we open with it for time? Yeah, so main event, and I think rightfully so. I think that's the right call. Warren said this on his show. Technically a copy and paste, I don't know. But
well, you didn't copy and paste us, so that doesn't
Okay, it doesn't transfer over. He said this is the dream match, but it's also not like the dream match where both guys are past their prime and it's a 7 minute match, and you know, it's like
it was a 70 minute match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think this would be really cool. I'm the first one to always say, like, hey, this is not like my flavor of ice cream for wrestling kind of thing, but Brian Danielson, man, always is like the exception to the rule. And he makes it work. The storytelling, the pace, like you said, it literally could be 70 minutes. And I always go on record saying just because it's long doesn't mean it's good. But for a guy like Brian Danielson, I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's gonna be a really good match. I think the entrances alone, the crowd reaction, hopefully they're not burned out by the time we get to this. I think it's going to be amazing here. Who's younger? I know it's a weird question.
Okada.
You know what? I'll stick with what I've always said on this show. Bryanson has no problem losing and putting people over. Not that you need to put over the likes of an Okada. I'm going to say Okada wins here.
Not a hot take, but I agree with you. Kimmy, it won't be a 70-minute match. Don't worry.
Thank God. I would have cried in the corner.
My God. Joy wrestling.
The main event better not be a 70-minute match either. I'm not having event. That. No, I meant like the other match we have to talk about. That better not be 70 minutes either.
We'll talk about that soon enough. So who do you got?
Brian, because he's waited a year for this freaking match, and he deserves to win.
All right.
He stayed healthy. Good
Omega,
job.
OmegaX80 at AOL.com. Who do you got?
Nice.
Thanks for, you know, helping boost my age here. I'm going with Okada, and here's why. We've already said that the Blackpool Combat Club will win their 10-man tag match, and most of the other matches on the card, somewhat storyline-based. There are a couple matches like MJF Tanahashi, Danielson, and Okada, which don't have much of a story that's ongoing. It's, hey, let's put these awesome dream matches together. So that in mind, I'm okay with Okada defeating Danielson because it's going to be an awesome match. It could be a 30-minute match, 40-minute match. Don't care how long it's going to be. We know we're getting the match that Danielson and Okada want to have. They want to have a stellar performance. Yeah. And to sound cheesy, it's not really going to matter who gets the pinfall, who gets the submission victory. We're getting the dream match. And again, that's why I'm good with Okada winning, because Danielson doesn't need to win this. He just needs to have the match of a lifetime with Okada.
Here's breaking news for you guys. Kimmy broke this to me, and I'm going to break it on this podcast. A match was added live during the Rampage taping Ooh. Adam Cole is going to take on the debuting Filthy Tom Lawler.
I am so
excited for this. Filthy Tom Lawler is, I mean, he's not full-time New Japan, I don't think, but he really fits AEW because he is a friggin' weirdo and I love it. When you wrestle, when your tights are essentially jorts, Daisy Duke jorts, and you're an MMA fighter, yeah, come on. You're number one in my book. So, listen, this is going to be great. Adam Cole will win this match unless MJF costs him, but this is going to be such a out-of-left-field match. People are going to fall in love with Filthy Tom Lawler. That's all I'm going to say. Rob, I don't know if you are familiar with Tom Lawler. I mean, he's been around. He's done some MLW. He's done New Japan Strong. He's done the indies. Do you have an opinion on this one? If you don't, it's fine by me.
Rings a bell. Did they say there was any sort of, and I'm guessing, any sort of like story or lead up to it, or is he's just having a match?
Okay. Tom Lawler just ended up jumping Adam Cole after an appearance he had on Rampage. If I had to extrapolate, MJF paid off Tom Lawler. That's what will eventually come out, I'm sure. But that's just
Okay. I don't know if that happened.
Tinfoil hat.
I was like, okay. Yeah. Why not? Let's have Adam Cole on the card. Yeah. I think where he is right now, I think where he is right now wouldn't make sense for him to lose at this point in time. I think he's going to lose to MJF again, but. That being said, I think he wins here.
Kimmy, your good buddy Adam Cole, who you interviewed on thepopbreak.com, do you think he takes the big dub on Filthy Tom this Sunday?
I sure hope so, because then I don't want to ask Britt next week a million questions as to why her boyfriend lost.
I know. You and Britt are super tight. These are facts. Mike, are you a Tom Lawler guy?
I've seen him wrestle. I've seen him wrestle. He's a goofball. He's entertaining. He'll definitely, on a stage like Forbidden Door, he'll have a lot of eyes on him. That being said, Adam Cole will still get the win. I'm sure it'll be a fine match. It would just seem a little off kilter if suddenly Adam Cole got a loss here.
True.
But again, it'll still be a good match, and I agree it'll be something along the lines of like, oh, MJF hired, Lawler to come in, try to, throw Adam Cole off his game. And you know what? That could, being that this match now is announced, that could play into perhaps Cole little shenanigans in MJF's corner when he goes up against Tanahashi.
Very true. All right, guys, it's time for the final match. Kenny Omega versus Kimmy's number one wrestler. Will, I said shit to Seth Rollins 10 years ago on Twitter and Kimmy hates him forever. Osprey. So, Kimmy, I'm going to get you out of the way because I know you don't want to talk about this match. Who's going to win?
He is. He's going to freaking win.
There's two guys in
Will's
this match.
Will's going to win.
Pronouns, brother.
Will is going to win. It's going to be horrible, and I'm going to be upset during the entire time because we have to see him. And then he's going to align with Don Callis. Of course he is, because why not? So, yeah, there you go.
That story's only been building for a year. Rob, who do you got? Kenny Omega, the cleaner himself, or young William Ospreay?
This is my kind of match right here. I am so mad that I didn't watch the last one they had. Potential probably match of the year, and I'm guessing this is going to potentially be a match of the year. Kimmy's saying no already. Give me the stats, Kimmy.
Like Will she just doesn't like Will Ospreay.
I know.
That's why.
Who won the last one?
Kenny did.
And he retained the...
He won it
from... Because Ospreay... Yeah, I remember watching that press conference, which was awesome, alone. Gross. I'm so mad I didn't watch... I'm sure I can go back and watch somewhere. This one's going to be awesome. I think this is going to be a great match. Will Ospreay, man. It's got to be Will Ospreay here.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Mike. Will Ospreay or our old pal Kenny Omega?
Well, on the one hand, Omega getting the win would be, if Ospreay really is aligning with Don Callis, would be somewhat of a victory. The only thing is, I have to agree, this would be the night Will Ospreay takes back the IWGP United States Championship. Considering that Ospreay was the IWGP world champion, and if I remember correctly, had to vacate due to injury.
Yeah.
So this, in a way, could be Ospreay's second coming for New Japan. I mean, Omega's had the United States championship for how long now? Over 7 months?
Since Wrestle Kingdom, yeah.
Okay. He's had that championship for a long time. I don't know how many times he's actually defended it in New Japan or in other promotions.
So, once or twice, maybe.
So Ospreay bringing that belt back to New Japan, we're going to get more title defenses with it. So I think it makes sense that, and again, if he's going to align with Don Callis, it'll be another turn of the screwdriver in the skull of Kenny Omega.
Well, here's why I don't know if that screwdriver is totally going to go into that skull, because I do believe, yes, young William Ospreay, Billy Goat himself, will win the belt. However, I do think we end the show on a high note as Don Callis and company are beating down on Kenny Omega. Kota Ibushi will debut for AEW, saving Kenny Omega, sending the crowd home happy, reuniting the Golden Lovers tag team.
This isn't the main event. So you can't send the crowd home happy. This is going to be in the middle of the show, sir.
Well, guess what? You can send the crowd home happy anyway, because they know the Golden Lovers are back. So that's what everyone wants, and I think that's what we're going to get here. Now, of course, matches always get added. Literally, a match was added during this podcast. Do you guys see any other matches that could be added? I mentioned the Trios title. Do you see any people being added to the show? Go around the horn. Anyone want to just throw anything in there? Let me know. Rob?
Based specifically on the roster sizes, probably. I think they're trying to tighten it up. Like you said, tighten the screws a little bit. So I think probably that Adam Cole is going to be the last one.
Kimmy, got anyone you would want to see on a show, or you think will be on a show?
I sure hope they don't add another match, because my God, this is longer than any AEW pay-per-view we've seen so far this year for no reason.
Well, this funny point. I was thinking, there was a pay-per-view, I believe it was 2022, went till after 1 a.m.
There was one, yeah.
That was because they had the there was an NBA final, NBA playoff, the NBA finals, so they kind of stretched it out. So
what are the odds this pay-per-view is going to go long past midnight? I mean, the last pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, finished before midnight.
It did.
That was impressive. So, I'm not trying to show my age, but, at a certain point, dude's got to get some sleep.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. the Forbidden Door only happens once a year. So, no, the only people who could get added at some point would be Shingo. We don't have FTR on this show, but they are wrestling on Collision. So, and maybe Bullet Club Gold makes an appearance, but they're not New Japan, technically. So, who knows? But what we are sure of, guys, is we are sure this is going to be potentially one hell of a show. Could be show of the year like last year's show was. And there was a lot less injuries and card shuffling happening this year than last. So, guys, thank you for joining us for our Forbidden Door Pop Break Takeover podcast, or some would say the Pop Breakover. So, guys, let's get into those shameless plugs. Kimmy, you have the most, so I will let you go first. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because you are a Renaissance woman out there doing a ton of stuff.
I guess so. I'll be with Britt Baker next week at Icons of Wrestling. I'm so excited.
And where is Icons of Wrestling located?
The 2300 Arena. Apparently, Vicky's going to be there. That's what I heard. That's in the rumor.
I think she's actually on the poster.
She is. I know. It was a joke. And then Daniel Garcia is going to be there. Chris Statlander and Lita and Anna Jay and Ty Conti, as of right now. Sammy Guevara. And I think like 60 other people. Again, as of right now. So, and Danhausen. They just announced Danhausen the other day, which is
gotta love that Danhausen.
I guess so. So you should, I think tickets are still on sale at iconswrestling.com. So you should go check that out and then go. Because again, me and Britt are gonna be there. That's a once in a lifetime meet and greet opportunity. You can't get anywhere else, because it's only happened 3 times this year. I mean, Great. Amazing. I'm going to be on the BCP next week hosting Money in the Bank with other people because Rob can't get enough of me. Isn't that great, Rob?
Wait, you're hosting?
Yes.
I'm glad.
I'm proclaiming that right now.
I was going to say I don't remember that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm hosting. I write lots of things with Bill. And yeah, that's the thing. I'm on the Tony Khan meeting hall tomorrow. What I'm asking, I don't know. That'll be a 2 o'clock decision or 1:59 as I text Bill that I don't know what to ask. Then I do my ring. Yeah, I'm going to do that, by the way. Warning you now.
I already know.
God. Then I do a Ring of Honor podcast where I talk all about Ring of Honor. And it comes out every Friday when I decide to actually record on time. So make sure to check that out on YouTube and Spotify. It is on Spotify, Bill. And Warriors of Wrestling. So we have Alicia Edwards and Charlie Haas is making an appearance. He's challenging for the world title. So if you're in Staten Island, you should check that out. Or you can listen to me and Rob's commentary on it.
Mike, thank you so much for filling in at the last second. I know you are a tired man with 3 children, multiple jobs. Tell us where people could find you on social media. And don't forget to check out Mike's Dynamite reviews. If he doesn't do it this week, it's totally cool because he's very tired. But he does it every week. He reviews all the AEW pay-per-views. So tell us where people can find you.
On the Pop Break and the weekly columns, you can find me on Twitter when I feel like posting something at OmegaX80. And if you guys are feeling thrifty, go check out my eBay store, Omega Collectibles. Lots of random comic book, Transformers, and all sorts of pop culture stuff. So go enjoy that.
Cool.
But thank you again for having me on tonight.
A man of the people, if there ever was one. If you must follow me on Twitter, I'm at BodkinWrites, WRITES. I am the host of the Socially Distanced podcast, which drops every single Friday on all your favorite streaming platforms. It's the PopBreak.com's flagship podcast. We are going to be starting our Secret Invasion review series. We'll also be talking about Mission Impossible, the new Mission Impossible, and Indiana Jones films. I am also the Bill in the Bill versus the MCU podcast, which drops on the Pop Break Today feed, which is our Marvel first and rewatch. Right now, we just did our Phase 5 Part 1 discussion on Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man Quantumania, and the current state of Marvel. And I do the Anchored in Asbury podcast, which drops every month on Pop Break Today. I've done actually 2 this month. Talked to the guys who are running Happy Mondays. I also talked to comedian Angelo Gingerelli, who also writes for the Pop Break. And of course, check out thepopbreak.com every single day. Got lots of great stuff at the Pop Break on Instagram and Twitter. And Rob Crowther, take us home. Tell us what you got.
Great job hosting, Bill. Real quick.
It's like I've done before.
And Mike, thanks for joining. Kimmy, thanks for apparently hosting next week. Guys, make sure you tune in for Money in the Bank. Just shout out the Pop Break. Some cool stuff coming up. Bill always giving me really cool opportunities to talk to some of my heroes. Some bucket list interviews coming up. And, I know Dana Brooke's trending a lot right now. Go check out our interview with her because she is super amazing. I think you all should go back and listen to that interview with her. I'm just very excited for some of the stuff coming out on the Pop Break. And don't forget the Fight Forever games coming out pretty good. So I'm sure we'll be doing a lot of stuff with that in the next couple weeks. So, yeah. And, like I said, Money in the Bank, Warriors of Wrestling, Icons of Wrestling, all that good stuff.
All right, guys. Remember, as Rob always says, it's like, I don't know, stay safe, be good.
No, stay safe, be positive, and then we out. Peace. Come on.
I say take care.
Take care. Forbidden door. Let's go.
Bill for president. We out. Peace.